You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's another episode of My Sexy Podcast, and you, my friend, are lucky to have tuned in, because today I have someone that you are fresh to my eyes, ears, and knowledge. We barely know too much about each other.
It's true. Just the right amount.
Just the right amount to make this secrets galore. Yeah. She is, speaking of fresh, the host of UCB East's weekly show, Fresh Out, which is always a cool one to go to if you're in New York City. Put your hands, feet, lapses together. You know what I mean by laps. Laps bands. Ashley Brooke Roberts.
Woo! Hi. Hi.
Someone farted in the crowd after.
That's cool.
So last episode we concluded that I use too many sound effects, so I'm gonna ease up and just go straight for the convo, and only sometimes. You know, my excuse for using too many sound effects was that the younger generation probably likes it. Because I've had several people now write in and be like, stop playing so many sound effects. And I'm like, oh, these are old angry ladies that don't understand that the younger generation, they're like cats. They need a laser over here. They need a conversation over here. They need a little catnip over here, you know?
Yeah.
I can't keep on going with the cat analogy. I don't know cats enough. Those are the only things that I know.
Catnip
that,
and lasers.
Yeah. Voices, catnip, lasers. But then, devastatingly, heavy listeners will know that last episode, I talked to our biggest fan, Vera, of Ottawa, who revealed herself to be 18 years old.
Whoa.
And not happy with the amount.
Oh, no.
Of sound effects. You know? So how do you argue with that?
Yeah, I guess you got to listen to her. It sounds like the kids are speaking.
Yeah. How do you take criticism?
Not well.
No, right? Isn't it the worst?
It's really hard, yeah.
It's like the layers of death. You know?
Yeah, or like Dante's Inferno. Yeah.
Yeah. What's Dante's Inferno?
There's just layers of hell that you have to go through.
Let's look it up.
I take criticism by immediately thinking they're right and I'm wrong, and then hating myself. I never.
Oh, really? You succumb right away?
Immediately. And then after I digest it a little bit, I'll be like, wait a minute. They're wrong. I'm the shit. You know what I mean? I have to have a good day to process.
That's interesting, because I do it like this. I start thinking, why are they trying to sabotage me? Even like I was taking an acting class, and like when the lady would tell me that I was overacting, I was like, that's just acting the most. You know what I mean? Like, that's just being the best actor. So it's cool that you want to slow me down, but you're a fucking teacher, all right? Those that can't do teach. But obviously that person's right, and I needed to. It's just so hard. Yeah. My manager told me, don't be so desperate a little bit. That was a hard one to take. But it's hard to, like, understand who you are and, like, how. Total power package. Sorry, we have to play this. Today's episode is brought to you by a deep-voiced man. I was trying to get to Dante's Inferno, okay? That wasn't just a weird sound effect. Hold on, I'm going to...
Vera, what do you think?
So it's hard to be... I've started to go to more mics, and one lesson that I'm learning, or like a really valuable thing from mics, is like the key to great stand-up is knowing yourself and being honest on stage. Right, like knowing what's good about you, and then flexing that on stage in an honest way.
Yeah, it's like self-awareness to the max.
Self-awareness to the max, and so many people are not. And I've actually an annoying person / there's a couple people that have gotten off stage and been like so bummed or whatever, and I'll talk to them, and I've been doing it for long enough that I'm like, you know, there's just like some very key things, like you're avoiding, like you're bringing up something like very interesting and honest, and then you're like going for some strange character act out punchline that is so disconnected from what people were actually interested in.
Uh-huh. Bring it back. Tell us more about that first thing.
Yeah. And just be honest. Like, what is your actual feeling about that?
Yeah.
And you'll find a punchline in that. But not to be like, oh, we're the experts. But we are more than a lot. But in talking to, in many times, you'll just see the glaze go over the person's face as soon as you're having a conversation about it and sort of backpedaling and apology. Like, this one dude that I'm talking about was like, oh, yeah, no, I just haven't been on stage in a long time. And I'm like, yeah, but regardless, like, that's just that's something to hear and listen to.
Well, I think that most people are, and myself included, get, like, scared. And so you just go for the common denominator. So you just go for, like, what's the thing that
excuse.
I think will work?
Yeah.
You know, like, boom.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Where
on
it's
stage.
Kind of like a scramble. Yeah. Like, if you haven't, like, fully fleshed out a joke, then it's easy to sort of, you know, just go on cruise control and do, like, a dumb punchline.
Yeah.
And then you're not being honest. So
yeah.
That really goes back to writing, like, sitting down and writing and making sure you're exploring what you really think.
Yeah. Is that the most of the benefits that you reap? Your garden is your flowers when you make flowers. Is it from writing? Is the writing part the most important
for stand up?
Yeah.
I think getting up is the most I don't know. I think it's tied.
You can see people that just get up all the time and
yeah, you see people get up all the time who just aren't moving forward. Writing's super important.
Yeah.
I think writing's probably the most important. But then writing is,
you know what the thing is, like we our craft, the magic of it is the illusion that no work went into it. And some people take a shot of that illusion and are drunk on it, and it's a delusion.
Yeah.
God, I just got so deep.
We're in the deep end.
We're in the deep end. So I'd love to riff on illusion and delusion.
Yeah.
But I'd also like to know, okay, so you, writer heavy, you also, when did you start?
4 years ago.
You little baby ducky, you're so successy. Goody, goody. Do you feel so, like, good forward momentum? Are you, you're like a pretty normal person, right? You don't, like, torture yourself too much.
I go back and forth. Right now I'm pretty stable. I just quit smoking pot like a month ago and
really?
It has changed everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. But I would say I'm, you know, I have a lifetime of not being stable.
That was your, hooray, I quit pot. And it's good again. Cool.
Yeah.
So then you must have been smoking a lot of pots.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I was smoking like a normal middle class American amount.
Yeah,
you know? Like every night I'd have like a little bit off the one hitter and watch a TV show, and then like once a week I get high during the day and walk around, you know, just enjoying myself. I'm not smoking blunt after blunt by any means.
Yeah,
but it felt very much like an adult amount.
And what are the things that are now becoming clear now that you've
not that I haven't smoked pot? So it's been 4 weeks, and right away, like, anxiety levels down, boom.
Really?
Like, I'd say they've been decreased about 60%, which is just, like, it just creates a compound effect. Like, if your anxiety is down, then you're able to do more stuff. You're able to see things clearer. You're able to act better in certain situations. And then that compounds on that. And that, it's just like a ball rolling down.
Cool. So you're in a 1 month cool momentum, feeling goody, goody.
Yeah, I'm feeling goody. And I started therapy a month ago, too. So
First time?
2 months ago. No.
But you found like, No.
But it was like the, you know, first time in the past 2 or 3 years. So I found a new person.
Is it a good person?
Yeah, I like her a lot.
What makes you like her?
You know, she's young and fun.
And oh, I like that.
Yeah. she's, you know, I've had 1, 2, 3, 4 major therapists before her throughout my life. And she's just like right for this moment. So I think you got to have, you know, therapists come into your life at different times for different reasons. So she's working out well.
Coolie, coolie. Do you have health insurance?
God, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I mean, I have Medicare or Medicaid, whichever one is
free
from the
government.
Oh, okay.
So you've got something from the government.
I have something from the government that I've never used, but I applied for it because I knew that I could get it in case of, you know, catastrophe.
If you get smashed.
Yeah. That was appropriate.
In case we walk out of this building and just get plowed by some sort of truck. Okay, cool. So you, what, well, when you do growing up, what was that like? Giddy giddy childhood time?
No. Me?
Not giddy?
No. Was I a giddy giddy?
No, like, did you have a good childhood? I just double up on words sometimes.
Okay. I would
say. It's a lot of content to fill, you know? You got to throw in doubles.
I would say I had, like, a magical elementary school years.
And where does it take place?
It took place in Wilmington, North Carolina for, I went to a different school every year from second grade to high school. So yeah. Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth, I went to a different school every year.
Why was that?
My parents just
trying a new thing called fuck up my teenage years.
Yeah. I have really young parents, so I think they were just like figuring out their lives. So we moved around and there was a divorce. But most of elementary school was great because I went to a Montessori school. So I had like a very enchanted life.
I went to Montessori Junior kindergarten.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did you love it? I learned to read before my brother, and he's 2 years older than me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He still doesn't know how to read, but JK.
And then middle school was shitty, real shitty. And then
what made it so shitty?
I went to a different school every year in middle school.
So you just never got your groove.
I never got my groove. And then 1 year in seventh grade, I was just like in the most redneck podunk town of all time. And I was literally made fun of all
of
the
Wilmington.
Time. No, it was called Oak Island. It's like a little island in very southern part of North Carolina that's only a tourist attraction. So I was there during the non-tourist season.
Down season, off season.
Yeah, so it was just there with the locals and like, you know, really, really bullied a lot. Like, they would, one of their favorite things was to, like, cut up coupons and then run up to me and throw them on me and be like, this is for your family, poor girl. And, like,
were they all rich ones?
No, they were just rednecks.
Idiots.
And they constantly called me a lesbian all the time, torture, like, constantly calling me.
Well, were you a dyke or not?
I didn't shave my legs, you know.
That's not good.
Girl fights.
Is that one the root of something? Like, are you working on to get the roots out of your system from that with therapists, do you think?
No, therapists are different.
Okay.
And then high school was fun. We were fun and, you know, I got in a lot of trouble because I ended up in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Are you familiar?
I'm not, no. But I like the names of the places.
Yeah.
And I imagine some people know American geography better than I.
It's just like a small, it's like a little liberal Mayberry.
Oh, cool.
That's like, has a college
but
there.
But Mayberry is another place? Or
Mayberry
is it a figure of speech?
Mayberry is a fictitious town that takes place in the Andy Griffith Show.
Shout out.
You heard them say it
to Mayberry.
My church offers no.
God, that's a good fucking
R.I.P. Andy Griffith.
Okay. Now, so childhood, good until people got mean, and then.
And my parents got divorced. That was like an issue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of trouble.
Are they okay now?
Hey. Yeah. They're good. My dad's good. My mom's good too. She's just really embraced her eccentricities.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's inevitable. There is a ticking time bomb in every woman's heart, soul, and mind that ends up going off, and you just end up having a little more like, well, if it wasn't for my lesson, you know what that was. Yeah, well, I know. You know what I mean? Like, just like these like crazy mantras.
Yeah.
And some of them are not, and maybe this is sexist, but no, I think men are crazy in different ways. Like, my dad doesn't know, I'm sure he doesn't know where his cell phone is. I'm sure he doesn't know where his wallet is. I'm sure he's dropped his keys on the driveway and he has no idea. And he's just very aloof.
Yeah.
And that kind of sets in more and more in a crazy way. But, and not to talk ill about my mother, she is a fixture on this podcast and a very wise woman, but like, you know, you just decide on the ways that you are. Yeah, I guess you just we're just like a pottery and we're settling into rigid, stiff ways of being.
Yeah,
that's not what I'm saying about you, mom, but I wish you'd take a fucking drink. Take a drink. If anyone sees my mother Ursula Fry, please pull her a shot and make her take it. Yeah, and I also think that in divorces, it seems like the woman maybe not for everybody, but I know a bunch of divorced moms that like never date again. They're just like, all right.
My mom dated like a string of horrible people.
Oh, okay. So
like, a lot of really bad people.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, that's a tough one. Yeah. Man. Bad
people.
So, okay. Well, we hope that at least she's not dating a bad person right now, because then you would have brought it up.
Yeah, she's not dating, but I mean, I'd like her to date. She has 6 cats. And she works the night shift at a VA hospital. So she spends her days like building outdoor playgrounds for her cats to run.
That's kind of fun.
But she doesn't ever, like, she doesn't interact with people really. But, you know, because she works at the night shift, everyone's asleep.
Yeah.
Except for like the 3 people she sees every night.
That's an important one, I think, as we get more rigid too, is like you can get a little bend if you have to answer to someone.
Yes,
and like,
so you have to interact. Interaction's important. She doesn't interact. And her cats are not used to anyone being over there. So like if I come over, like they hide because they're just not used to another human being in the house.
Oh my God.
So it's very feral land over there.
Now speaking of feral,
mm-hmm.
What do you think's fair in the world? And what do you think's not fair in the world? Hard segue, but I'm going to go with it. What do you... it's still early in the year in terms of goals. What would be the ideal for you? I know people, well, oftentimes people, if you're a stand-up comic in New York, it's like, Saturday Night Live, right? That's like the association. But in a dream world, Ashley Brooke Roberts, at the end of 2015.
What would I be like?
Where's she at? I mean, dreamland.
Well,
dreamland.
I mean, I want so many things. It's hard to, like, everything seems exciting and fun.
But if you can pick one.
If I can pick anything, and do I have to, like, does it have to be rational?
Like, no, does it have not to be, at like, all.
Oh, okay.
In fact, we encourage crazy shit here at My Sexy Podcast. Ashley's dream world starting right fucking now.
Well, I have a New York Times bestseller collection of essays that I tour around the country, and
Not that I just own.
and I just do, like, I sell out theaters reading from my book and doing stand-up. I have a travel show on the Travel Channel I just travel.
Man, Anthony Bourdain, that show, just
life.
So cool.
Yes. I haven't smoked a cigarette all year. That would be great.
Yes.
And you know, I'm in like peak physical fitness where I'm like running, you know, 4 miles a day and feeling
Whoa.
Just really into my body and super good.
Yeah, man. Feeling into your body is a tough one. Yesterday, my pants broke and that was not a good moment.
I'm sorry.
I also had just gone to my friend's birthday party who was all models.
Oof.
And the cupcakes landed. I inhaled mine, looked around. No one had eaten their fucking cupcake. Not even the men. No one had, and they were delicious, like artisanal cupcakes. Fuck you.
Yeah, well, that's their problem. They're
that's
idiots.
Their problem.
Yeah, you made the right decision.
Yeah, by unbuttoning my top button and then walking around in my like social trick, my party trick was showing everyone my belly.
That's great.
That was cool.
And they were like, we've never seen one
cool
of those before.
Cool girl, she's so cool. She's so cool. Oh my God, sorry about that. That literally almost got us canceled. I almost got thrown out of the studio. That was the worst thing that's ever happened.
Oh, it was so loud.
Do you have a man in your life?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Who dat?
Nick Meritato.
Oh my God, you date Nick Meritato?
Yeah, boo-boo.
Comedian Nick Meritato.
Comedian superstar.
Two comics together, what's it like? Serve it up, Brooke Roberts.
I love it. It's fun.
Now, what's the truth of it?
I love it. It's fun.
Do you guys do lots of mics together, lots of shows together, try and double that up?
No,
or
we
separate,
don't.
Separate?
Mm-mm. It's pretty much separate.
How do you, and any jealousy time, if we're being honest?
I would say not now. I think in the beginning, like the first year was a little tough because you're just figuring out how to like work around a new person, you know? Like, it's like issues come up. But I would say now we're totally fine. And we're very different, you know? Like, we look different. We have different types of comedy, so.
I actually think you look exactly the same.
He'll love to hear that. So, no, not an issue. No.
Cool.
Yeah. Have you ever dated a comedian before?
I haven't, but I made out with a comic named Gilson Lubin.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
How was that? Funny? Was it funny?
He did have, like, good lips. Yeah. He's a black dude from St. Lucia. He's still a comic in Canada. You guys can check him out there. It was just, he was kind of like my reserve man that, like, between relationships with women, I'd be like, wait,
Let's try.
Yeah. When you, like, grab a dick and you're like, is this thing on? It's like, nope, still not broadcasting. I actually didn't grab his dick. But one time I felt it on top of his pants in a movie theater. Like, why do we give away so much of ourselves in this room? Like, what am I trying for? Really? That's
Would you date a comic?
I'm married now, so I'm better hurt now for my old wife. But I would date. I mean, you know what? I had very rigid views on it before. My friend Nikki Glazer. I guess she's gotten pretty good. You know when you say that your friend's name's full name because they're doing good things? She dated so many comics and it was always a little bit disaster.
Yeah.
But I've now seen like, Megan Gailey and Brendan Eyre mm-hmm. together. Like I've seen like good examples. I think you can't make rules about, yeah. like there's obvious things that could come up that would make it bad. And in general, like comedians are not so great always, the people, but yeah. like neither, you know, neither are half Pakistani, half Swiss lesbians, but you gave me a shot.
Yeah.
And here I am.
What does your wife do?
She's a wardrobe stylist. She's going to style a show at the Lincoln Center for Fashion Week on Friday.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's so I know. Hot.
In your picks.
When your people do good things.
In your picks, she always looks really cool.
She's so cool. She's just so cool. She has so many tattoos. She doesn't, like, she's just very, I guess she's 35, so she's, like, a little older. She can hear most things and see pretty much everything.
Oh, that's great.
And when I push her around in a little wheelie, she has a blast. she's different than me in that she's very secure in terms of jealousy times.
Oh, good.
I am not insecure. And now, like, we've been together 6 years. I'm like, anyone can do anything to her. JK, no one touch her. Look at her. Don't do it. I hate you. You know what I was thinking, though, the other day / this morning was, like, you're in a relationship, but we're not robots, and we are now in a time and in a city and a place and cool people where we can say, like, oh, yeah, we're all attracted to different people.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, like, I've got different people that, like, when I bump into, I'm like, oh, okay. But, like, I don't explore it, obviously, because that's just not – but, like, energy exists there. But I was like,
sure.
Who are those people for her?
Yeah. You could ask her.
No, I don't want to know about those people. But she works with models, yeah. photographers. One of her jobs sometimes is to fluff up a dick.
Oh, my God.
Not to jerk it, but to, like, put a sock in it.
You make it a little bigger.
Make it a little bigger.
Give it some girth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so what do you think about that for me? So basically my next question is, as it relates to your childhood, is my wife fucking a model?
I think you're cool. I think you don't have to worry about it. But yeah, I think everyone's just going to be attracted to everybody forever. And that's just like a fact of life.
Yeah. Are you ever going to do open relationship?
No way.
No it's too
way.
Much.
Why would I do that to myself? Yeah. I'm already crazy enough. There's no need to add that element to it. I would lose my shit. I feel like if anyone was ever like, we should be in an open relationship, I'd be like, we should break up.
Well, that's what it is, kind of. Yeah. It's a transition to breaking up.
Yeah.
I don't know, though, but threesome?
I've never, well, I...
Because you're, how long have you been together?
3 years.
3 years. So mm-hmm. imagine, you know, 10 years in, 13 yeah. years, you're like, I own this D.
Yeah, this is my D.
He's like, I own this P.
Yeah.
But then you've got that confidence of the ownership to, like, and you're in Tulum.
Yeah.
And there's, like, I guess it would be, though, well, it could be a boy or a girl. I guess that's the
Either
thing
or.
With you is that there would be... I guess that's the hassle of being straight is threesomes get really complicated.
I wouldn't mind a threesome. I was almost in a threesome once and it was a little overwhelming and I was just like,
I feel like there's always one useless person that you don't really like.
I was that useless person.
Okay, yeah. You're just playing the banjo in the corner.
I fell asleep. I fell asleep. And yeah.
And then they just did sex on top of you?
Kind of. I mean, it was like a college situation where like my roommate was taking this dude back, and we were had all been drinking, and the dude, and I don't know exactly how it happened, but the guy was like, "We'd really like you to come and watch." And I was like, "Okay, sure, why not?" Because I thought it was, you know, I thought I was saying yes to a threesome.
He had such a cool masculine voice.
I really like you to come and watch.
I really
come and watch. And so they started having sex, and I watched, and it was clear that I was about to be like, you know, brought into it. And but I was sitting down. I was so comfy. And then I just kind of leaned back and fell asleep.
Okay, so you were watching them have sex was the extent.
Yeah.
They never even touched your boob?
No, never touched my boob.
Oh, so that's why you were almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had one threesome, but everybody makes fun of me.
Why?
And says that that wasn't official or whatever. But we, like, all made out in a bed, and one girl, we, like, focused on the pleasure of one girl.
Oh, well, I've made out with people in beds. With more than two, more than one person. I think a threesome's set penetration. There's got to be, it doesn't have to be dick necessarily, but.
We briefly interrupt this segment. And we're back on track. What makes you go fucking crazy? No, what do you love about stand up in New York, and what do you hate about stand up in New York?
Oh my God, I try not to think about it. What do I love about it? I don't know. My favorite comics are performing in New York. All of my friends are so funny. Like, I can go watch comedy that I like, which is great, and I can do it every night, which is also awesome. What do I hate about it? It's too fucking cold, y'all.
I know. How are we ever leaving our house when it's God. So cold? But you know what the thing is? It's group mentality where it's like no one's canceling these shows. We're all, you know,
cancel the show,
taking the train out to fuck wherever the fuck.
Yeah, I feel like a dumb herd of people just going. We're running off the cliff. Like it's bullshit. Yeah. I think
cancel everything during the winter.
Yeah, just shut it down for like 2 or 3 months.
Everyone in New York moved to Tulum.
Yeah. Where's Tulum?
It's in Mexico.
Yeah, go to Tulum. Yeah. That's great.
It's a good place.
It's too damn cold. I can cuss, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So every winter I'm like, oh, I'll never do that again. I'm moving to LA.
Oh, no, you can't say
I'll never do it again. And then like spring, summer, fall, so much fun. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I can do it one more time. Maybe I can just handle one more winter. No, it's horrible.
But where's your cuss?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even cuss. Fucking shit.
Do you cuss in your stand-up?
Sometimes. I don't make a conscious choice not to, but probably not. I think I say like shit. Maybe. I don't know.
So the answer to you a goody goody?
Yeah. Well,
that you so swiftly retorted no.
This is something,
maybe that was your defense and you are a goody goody.
I'm not a goody goody, but I feel like I met this comic in LA last December. And she was just like really hardened, you know, like she was like, she just like seen it all. And she was just like, you know, she met me and she was like, never change. Like, you're not bitter. Like, never, ever change. And I just wanted to be like, what makes you think that like I haven't gone through shit that you've also gone through? Like, maybe I just found a different way to deal with it besides like walking around being like tough and hard,
don't
you know? Don't change. Never change. And I think that like, I come across as very like, yeah, I smile a lot. I'm happy to see people.
Yeah.
So people are like, well, you must have had a really great life, you know? And I think that that is just like this weird mentality that we've created as a society where if someone's like bitchy and mean, then they've gone through shit.
Yeah,
if someone smiled, then it's like, well, they've never experienced life. And it's like, no, maybe they just found a different way to deal with it. Like maybe they didn't let it ruin them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for the record, both Ashley and I are depressed as fuck. Yeah, it is. I get a similar thing from people that are like, oh, well, you're always just so happy. And I'm like, yo, I literally am covered in my own tears, honey. Taste my cheeks.
Yeah.
They're salty.
You don't know anything about me. Like, why assume that? Because I have a pleasant disposition that I haven't, like, felt pain. It's just very annoying.
And I mean, it seems like that person was annoying for more reasons than
They were. Well, they were just, like, really tough. You know, it was just, like, a kind of, like, very, like, she had an edge to her. And it was, like, I've seen shit was her whole.
Will you tell me her name after we get out?
I will for sure.
No shit. And now for Dante's Inferno. Ladies and gentlemen, Dante's Inferno. Dante's Inferno. This is just a trailer so far. Oh, maybe I'll read Dante's Inferno with this in the background. Ever want to know what Dante's Inferno is?
Toward the city.
Well?
Secure in our holy cause and beheld such a fortress. And on every hand I saw a great plain of woe and cruel.
Is that what you think?
That's the movie the epic, what is it? It's a long poem. What's that called?
Poetry.
No, but it's a book.
Limerick.
That's one poem.
Tutelage.
Written by, what's his name? One of the famous authors of our time. Not our time. He was way before us.
Well, Ashley, I'd actually argue that the Inferno is the first part of Dante's Allegri.
Yeah.
Allegri, 14th century epic, Divine Comedy. Thank you. Followed by Purgatorio and Procedo, of course. It's an allegory telling of the journey of Dante through hell, guided by the Roman poet Virgil.
Of course.
Sorry to hold it in for so long, guys. Sorry to make you think I was a dummy off the top, but
my dad was named after this. His name
Dante?
Is Michael Dante Roberts. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Named after Dante's Inferno.
What's the general takeaway? I mean, I obviously know it, but I'd like to test you.
You know, it's just like, you know, humans are flawed, right? And we live in this world where our destiny is determined, but we also have free will. So how do we navigate that? And then the exploration of the human spirit when it's put in situations that are fated, but they also have some sort of agency in as well.
I mean, ladies and fucking gentlemen. She wins! She wins the prize of being able to call my mother.
It was also written by Dante. I was like, who wrote Dante's Inferno? Oh, it was Dante.
So it's this... okay, so the Inferno is the theory.
Inferno.
Yeah. And Dante is the man.
Yeah, Dante is the man. Yeah.
He sounds like he's from LA. Is he? Is he bi-coastal?
No. I think he's Italian.
So we're going to call my mom and we're going to see if she's got a topic. She's only been talking about old people, so I hope she freshens it up. I don't think she got the hint, but advertisers don't cater that. Hello, you're my mother and I love you so much from the day you were born to me. In my mouth, I got a birth of you. From my mouth, I gave birth to my mother from my mouth.
What is this now? Is this a crank call?
Kind of. If that's what you want it to be.
Okay.
Are you, is it Dr. Oz time or what?
No, it's not Dr. Oz. Judy's still here and she's watching some show that she watches every day.
What's that show?
It's called Doc Martin. It looks like some kind of a...
That's a
shoe,
mother. That's a shoe, you know...
It's a British thing, I think.
All right. Do you want to tell me what you like about Trudy or what you hate about Trudy behind her back while she's watching?
No, not really.
What do you want to talk about?
I didn't even know there was going to be a follow-up.
Oh, well, you know what, Mom? I do want to talk about something. I want to talk about Bruce Jenner.
Oh, I don't know what went on there. I just know that he was involved in an accident.
Not the accident. The transition. The idea of transitioning later in life and also your perception of trans people.
Yeah.
So, are you laughing?
No.
What's going on right now? Are you and Trudy tickling each other?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's on it. This is the thing. This is an old friend of my mother. She does. Yeah, okay, she knows she's on a podcast.
You know, that's his life. He has to do what's good for him, whether it's in early life or late in life. You know, I mean, what can we say?
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, good. So if you were Bruce Jenner's friend, what would you say right now?
That's what I would tell him. I would say you have to do what's good for you, you know, what feels good for you.
Good.
Right?
Okay, good. That was a very good one, Mom.
Yeah, okay.
We're all clapping here in the studio. Wait, what did you say?
How's the weather down there?
Well, that's always an indication the podcast is taking a turn for the worse. I think we can just leave this as a short phone call and you can Google it.
I saw a video from Moncton. The guy was walking on the sidewalk and the snow, it's just like a tunnel on both sides, like maybe 2 feet above his head it ended.
Did he fall or something? Did he fall or get pushed by the wind or something like that?
No, he couldn't because he was protected by these two walls on both sides.
Oh, you saw a man walking through the snow?
Yeah.
Like, how come we can't go viral, you know? Just a man in Moncton in the snow. Okay, Mom, I love you. Do you love me?
Always, always.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
All right, always. Sounds good. Okay, bye, I love you.
Bye, bye, love you too.
That was like, you know, you never know what you're going to get with my mom. Sometimes I'll say, like, do you love me? And she'll be like, hey, listen, I don't, what I've told you. Today, it's always, always. I guess she does have a friend in the room. And Dante's Inferno will continue to fern. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been another fucking fantastic episode of My Sexy Podcast. Ashley Brooke Roberts, where can people find you?
Look, y'all, I want followers on Instagram.
We want followers!
I want followers
I want
on Instagram!
Followers!
Okay, so follow me on Instagram. I want Instagram followers. Follow me at Ashley_Brooke_Roberts. I'm trying to beef up that Instagram.
All right. Keep your coupons in your wallet where they belong. Stop throwing them at children. And remember, we'll be back next week with another crazy ep. Woohoo!
This is for your family, poor girl.
Don't you know you are my heartache?